Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes live broadcast. Better late than never. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman, who is shaking his head as he indulges in a glass of wine because of the stresses that he's already undergone. We had a little bit of a problem getting the broadcast going because YouTube doesn't like us. But
and we've done now. We've done how many of these before? I mean, we've done 20 of these in the past, 125.
Yeah,
freaking YouTube decides to flake out today, Tuesday, May 12th, because YouTube is a piece of crap. So I'm going to start drinking heavily, and I will not stop until Sunday at Payback.
Just because you said that, YouTube could probably shut us down at any time now.
Well, for what? Drinking heavily or for complaining about?
Complaining. The complaining part.
Well, YouTube can try to shut us down, but they're not going to stop Between the Ropes. We are unstoppable.
I have more people following me on Periscope because they just did a Periscope video talking about our technical difficulties.
What the hell is Periscope? What is this? We're doing YouTube. What is Periscope?
By the way, I know we're going to talk a lot about Raw. We've got Payback coming up on Sunday. By the way, reminder for everybody, subscribe to us here on YouTube. We ask a couple of things of you. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube at Between the Ropes. Just go to youtube.com/Between the Ropes. Subscribe to us. Share our videos. Please like our videos and also comment on our videos. That's all we ask of you. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes, or you can follow me. I'm at Brian Fritz, and Michael, of course, is at The Real Wiseman. And also, check us out online. It's at BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can check out our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes as well. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher for the podcast, the TuneIn app, also on Downcast app. Subscribe to us, especially if you do it on iTunes and Stitcher. Those are our favorites and also the most commonly used, but please rate us and review us as well. So,
and if you're joining us live, we do have the chat up and running this week. We did not have it up and running last week. We have put it up there. You can see it beside the video. You have to be watching us on the YouTube page itself. Just click on the video if you're watching us on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever. We have a live chat going. There are some of our fans already in there. We're going to ask questions later to the chat room, and we're going to be pulling them from this live chat on the fly. You can talk to me. If you have any questions, tell me, put it up in there. Tell me how beautiful my face is. I know Michael, the Moneymaker Wiseman. I like it. Francis, I appreciate it. That's my moniker now. Go, Fritzy. It's your show.
How about the big news that just came down before the broadcast today?
What's that?
This is going to blow your mind. So take a swig real quick.
All right. As Stone Cold Steve Austin says, for the working man.
I want everybody to be prepared for this.
Pinky, it was dainty.
A huge announcement coming down. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to Global Force Wrestling. Ho!
Then what's the punchline? I'm waiting for it. This is good. This is a good setup. I like it. This is good.
Come on, tough guy.
So where's the punchline? I'm waiting for it. It's a joke, right? This is all
that like is the big news. Hacksaw Jim Duggan has just joined Global Force Wrestling.
I had hopes for that company. I had hopes for that company, Fritzy.
Yeah. Global Force Wrestling, man. He'll take part in a traditional first pitch May 28th at Del Diamond prior to the game between the Rock Round Express and visiting El Paso.
Is he going to be wrestling for them or just throwing pitches?
I got a feeling he's going to be an ambassador, but we've talked about this a little bit before when it comes to Global Force. They're doing this summer ballpark tour. So I think what's going to happen is
the one they stole from TNA.
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen, if I had to guess, was going to be somebody on the roster will be participating in the baseball tour because they have a little bit more name recognition, but they will not be a part of the TV tapings that Global Force does. So that way you have more recognizable names. It's kind of a Southern, hey, come out and see your favorite stars from yesteryear. And then there's a couple of current stars for the baseball tour. And then you'll have the more current guys doing the TV tapings.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Well,
I think that's where they're
going.
Yeah. So
good for them.
Let's get into Raw a little bit because, you know, overall, it was not a bad show, especially going into Payback coming up on Sunday. So it set everything up. They announced some more matches.
I thought it was a good show. Yeah. It was a really good. You said last week's was a good show. Last week's show was a better show. No, it wasn't. This was a much better show from top to bottom.
That's not true at all.
Let's ask the chat room. Chat room, which was a better show, last week or this week? I'll get back to you in a minute. You go.
But the one really Debbie Downer on the show was the news about Daniel Bryan. And Daniel's been out for several weeks now, and we've heard a lot of different things about what exactly is wrong with him. And we still don't know exactly what is wrong with him, but he's been sidelined. And we're all wondering if he was going to have to vacate the Intercontinental Championship. And then word came out on Monday morning that Daniel was going to be a part of the show. And there was even some belief that he was going to be wrestling on the show and he'd be wrestling at Payback on Sunday. Then he comes out for the show and says, hey, guess what? I'm banged up. I just had an MRI. Doctors don't know what's wrong with me or how long I'm going to be sidelined for. It could be weeks, could be months. I might not be able to ever wrestle again, which is a worst case scenario, but it's really something that's on the table. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but it definitely is on the table because I had even heard last year when he originally had his neck injury, there was some belief that he might not be able to come back. So he vacates the Intercontinental Championship. And like I said, we still don't know exactly the nature of the injury. We believe it's something to do with the neck and or shoulder injury that he's been dealing with. So, you know, we're not going to see Daniel for a while. And, you know, he had been sidelined for so long that I think the thinking was, okay, originally we had heard he was going to be out for a month and it's been a month. So guess what? He's coming back. You know, he's doing better. Everything's going to be great. And come to find out, it looks like he is not back. And he's going to be sidelined for a while longer. WWE obviously is continuing to use him because he's going to be one of the judges on Tough Enough. But, you know, it's sad news about Daniel, and hopefully he can get healthy and we can see him back in the ring. You know, I don't know how long that's going to be, though.
I guess it's disappointing that he had another title reign end in this fashion, literally a year after the last one ended. I think the open-ended nature of this, the same as last spring, makes it a concern. Remember back then we didn't know when he's coming back or what the surgery was going to be like or any of the outcomes that would happen based around what was going on last spring after WrestleMania. So it's so sad to see this happen again. I feel bad for Daniel because, you know, I mean, it is partially because of the nature of the way he wrestles, but I think this also, it's something he can't help. It is an injury. He just works his tail off. You know, if it were some kind of surgery that they would guarantee will fix it, it would be a different story. But it's just so disappointing for him to reach that apex he had been working towards for so long and for this to happen twice in a row. And for me, I told my wife, I said, that man will never be world heavyweight champion again because who's going to put the belt on him when he's had two major title reigns have to get cut short in this fashion? I just hope that we do get to see him come back in the ring and at least have a few more years of good wrestling, good matches. I hope this is not the end for him. Obviously, WWE wants to keep him around. They're going to put him on Tough Enough. It's a great place for him as a judge. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's going to give some good star power to that show. But yeah, disappointing. I'm sad. I'm bummed out. And it felt a lot like Edge's retirement speech, which is what made me real uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially because you could see the emotion that he had too. And that's the thing that, you know, really concerns me as well, is that he got so emotional about that. That right there tells you that this is not something that to me is a storyline. Even when he used the line like, there's a lot of people in the back, and he was talking about the nature of everything and everything that he's gone through over the past, you know, year or so. So the most important thing is that he gets healthy. And then we'll see what can happen with his in-ring career, because you know he wants to continue it. This is his passion. You know, he's not even 34 years old yet. He turns 34 later on in the month. So hopefully he can get healthy. We'll take it from there. I think that it's been talked about so many times in the past, but he's going to have to change his in-ring style if he's able to come back. He's just going to have to do it. I'm not exactly sure what he's going to do, but he's going to have to somehow tweak it because his body has been through so much already because of the style that he worked for so many years before even getting to WWE. And to see his body fail on him now that he's finally made it to the big time, that's the thing that really sucks, honestly. But, you know, hopefully he can get healthy and come back. I don't know what he's going to have to do, but change his ring style somehow and hopefully preserve himself so that way he can continue for, you know, another 4 or 5 years or how long he wants to go.
Yeah, I think I think changing his ring style is part of it. I think it's just going to be a lifestyle change. And even I think changing the perception of who he is as a wrestler. He has been this small, explosive guy for so long. And I think when he comes back, he's going to be in a different place. These two title reigns have put him in a different perspective. And I think we're all going to have to adjust our expectation to a certain extent, knowing what we've loved about Daniel Bryan may not be what we love about Daniel Bryan moving forward.
Yeah, and I know that he just tweeted out a little while ago that he flew home, headed straight to physical therapy. So, if anything, like the first time we saw the injury that happened with him, he was using different kinds of physical therapy for like 8 hours a day every day. And he was doing everything that he could to see what would be out there to help him. So you know that he's going to exhaust everything that he can to try to get back at the ring and get healthy. So we just have to wait and see how it plays out now. You know, even if there was the worst case scenario and he could not continue to wrestle, I think WWE would have a role for him somewhere if he wanted to have that. And I'm not saying that he would be a commentator or anything like that, but they would find something for him. He would be an awesome trainer. And to have him as a global ambassador, yeah. I couldn't think of a better person to have in that role, because so many times we talk about legends, and that's great. You talk about your Hulk Hogan's, your Ric Flair's, or whoever else is out there. But to have Daniel Bryan, a guy that, you know, is just, you know, a current WWE superstar, to have as an ambassador for your brand, I think would be spectacular.
So, question, if you're Daniel Bryan and your in-ring career gets cut short, what do you do? I mean, do you want to go in there and probably be a road agent, maybe be a trainer at some point, and kind of get involved behind the scenes? Or do you just say, you know what, I've earned my money, I'm going to pack it up? Because Daniel Bryan's not real big on the whole celebrity thing anyway, and I know his wife is a little bit more than he is, but maybe does Daniel Bryan want to come back in one of those behind-the-scenes roles where he might not have the same impact as being out there with the fans each week?
I would say, even though I just said, you know, they would probably offer him a role as an agent or as a trainer with NXT, I would say no, he would not want to do that because he has other things that he wants to do. I think he'd make an occasional appearance. I could see him as an ambassador for the company, but I would easily see him going and working in a third world nation, helping people out of poverty, helping build homes, doing things like that, working with the Peace Corps. I think that's what his eventual end game is, what he's going to do once his in-ring career is over.
Right. Gotcha. I agree.
So let's talk a little bit about Raw, because like you said, you know, setting up Payback, they added some more matches. We're now getting King Barrett against Neville. We're getting Sheamus taking on Dolph Ziggler. We've got a 2 out of 3 falls match now between the New Day taking on Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. And the match that I know you are looking forward to the most, Curtis Axel and Macho Mandow taking on The Ascension.
It sure is great. They let Damian Sandow come out last week and really bare his soul and become that guy everybody wanted him to be, so they could put him right back in the same gimmick spin wheel.
Yeah, I wonder about the career of Damian Sandow, because he's very good at doing the impressions, but that only has a certain shelf life.
Well, and you kind of got the feeling that they were going to let him branch out of this. I mean, it seemed like when he came out and did that big speech 2 weeks ago, that this was their way of saying, all right, he's paid his dues now. He's proven to us he can be entertaining. We're going to let him do his thing. And now they're bringing him in as no offense to Macho Man Randy Savage, God rest his soul, they're bringing him in as this guy. They're bringing him in as this Macho Man knockoff. You know who did that? Jay Lethal in TNA 6 years ago. Way to freaking go, WWE. Clap, clap, clap. Congrats to you.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, I think, when you're doing these impressions of other people, you know, and that only has a certain amount of shelf life, and can you get past that? I'm not saying everybody has to be – not everybody's going to be the World Heavyweight Champion. There's a lot of different roles for a lot of different people, but you don't want to get cast in a role like this for too long, because there is a certain shelf life to it, and you don't want to be there when that time comes and it ends. But right now, that's all they see Damian Sandow is. You know, it's quite honestly – I'm surprised to some extent that the Ascension's still on the main roster.
Yeah.
The way that they've utilized them, and obviously now they're doing this whole spoof of, you know, like, you guys are so pathetic, you know, trying to, you know, be like your heroes of the past. And I'm like, that's exactly what they're doing. And obviously they're hitting you over the head, letting you know that they're doing that. But the Ascension has not worked one bit. I honestly don't know what WWE can do with them. I don't even know if they can retool them in NXT. but it is not working. And it is, it's going to get to a point coming up here where, sure, you're on the road with WWE, but if they continue to use you or use them in this manner, it's going to be detrimental to their long-term career.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think it already has been. I think the best you can hope for right now is they get to do a Road Warrior gimmick next week in honor of the new movie, and they ride off into the sunset with Mel Gibson.
They got to get rid of that face paint. God. That face paint is one of the worst things that happened to him. Between that and the promos, I mean, yeah. I don't like to take jabs at guys too much, and it's not their fault, but my God, when they came out last night on Raw, I had to put out there on Twitter, bad promo alert, because that's exactly what you're going to get, because that's the kind of promos and the material that they are being giving right now. Right. And it's just not working, man. I mean, the way that they introduced him was horrible. The way they've used him since has been bad. And then sometimes you can say, okay, there's something bad, but you know what? Whatever talent that you have overcomes it. That is not the case here. And it's just horrible.
Yeah. You know, scrap them. I mean, I guess we're done. I don't know how you reinvent them. What gimmick would you give them?
I don't know. I don't know, man, but it's just been used every which way wrong since they've been brought up. I was not a fan of bringing them up yet. And, you know, they could have found ways to use them better or hide any limitations that they have. And that just hasn't been the case. So I don't know what to tell you when it comes to that. You know, it wasn't weird, though, all of the impressions, impersonations that WWE did on Raw, because you had the Ascension trying to act like the Road Warriors. You had Sandow and Curtis Axel acting like the Mega Powers. And you had the primetime players acting like the New Age Outlaws.
Which was a weird spot, but it kind of grew on me as they did it. And I like the fact that they're bringing back the primetime players. But I guess maybe they're trying to rekindle our affection for the product through nostalgia. It's weird. The whole tag team division is in a weird spot anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
I will say, I thought the best thing on that show, once again, John Cena with the U.S. Open Challenge taking on Neville. Neville has been spectacular since he's come up. You know, obviously some people get upset about wins and losses, but he has looked great. And Cena gave him a lot last night. Cena did that the previous week against Sami Zayn. So give a lot of credit to John Cena. He's helped make guys look good, but Neville is more than holding his own so far. He's looked really, really good so far since he's been on the main roster.
And what did I say when he won the belt? When Cena won the belt, I said, what's going to happen is John Cena is going to give back. Fans have been complaining for years that he's not putting guys over. And the first time he won, people said, John Cena's not getting back. I'm the angry internet. And John Cena,
but John Cena, though, you just said the magic word. You said, people said, oh, why isn't John Cena putting people over? He's still not. He's helping them make look great in matches and giving a lot. But I think a lot of people were upset about wins and losses.
But he put, and I agree, wins and losses are important. But he put over your boy Neville last night. He literally took the pin. I mean, Neville hit the red arrow finish. Yep. Yeah, whatever. Green Arrow, DC Comics, whatever.
Red Arrow.
Speedy. Okay, he hit it. And that was going to be the win until Rusev interfered, which I loved the spot. I don't always like interferences. Rusev looked like a beast. But Neville had that win, and I think he looked better for it.
Oh, absolutely. He looked great. The one thing that I can say about that match, too, that I'm not the biggest fan of, and it's not just that match, and it's been plenty of other instances. What is the deal with so many guys kicking out of finishers on Raw lately?
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. And John Cena is your big fish, and people are kicking out of his finisher. That's
2 weeks in a row now, people have kicked out of his finisher.
And I would see it if it was like John Cena versus Randy Orton. But no offense to Neville, when you have a guy straight up from developmental who's kicking out of finishers of your main event guys, that is weird.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of guys kicking out of finishers, except for big shows. Or like Sami Zayn the previous week, I think that was fine. But some of these other ones, you know, it's too much, too often. And Cena, you know, as much as he's given back the last couple of weeks, especially, people should not be kicking out of the AA that much.
Well, and you come to the point now where you almost expect the first time anybody hits a finisher that their opponent's going to kick out of it now, which takes out some of the drama. Like, the whole thing back in the day was he had a finisher and somebody kicked out. Holy crap, that's huge. And now it's like, well, anybody can kick out of one of these. No worries.
Yeah, I know. So Dean Ambrose looked like $1 million. The guy went back to his hometown on Raw, and he even won a match. How about that?
Nice.
He beat Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury. By the way, Noble's spectacular. Whenever he gets to talk, the way he interrupted Triple H, Triple H is out there giving a little talk to Seth and Kane, everybody. He's like, now let me tell you something, Hunter, okay? And I was like, Noble's fantastic out there. And I'll tell you what, him and Mercury, man, I mean, it's obviously I want to be a full-time guys, but when it's their time to get in the ring, they can still go. They can still deliver, you know, in that role as well. So
Noble was great when he used to wrestle full-time. He was what, like, his size worked against him, but he was one of the most entertaining guys out there on the roster. And then he had that whole storyline with Dom Marie and Tori Reynolds, which we won't get into, but
Nydia, yeah. The storyline, yeah. With Nydia.
Was it Nydia? Oh, it was with Nydia.
I'm in the trailer over here, baby. Come on, man.
The one tough enough star to get over. And it was in that storyline.
Yeah, I know. Right. So, when it comes to payback too. So now they've got this other stipulation where Kane, who's been feuding with Rollins, if he does not help Rollins in the Fatal 4-Way title match, and if Rollins does not leave as champion, Kane will no longer be the director of operations. And here's the one thing I like about this, though. When it comes to payback, they've set up a lot of different angles and a lot of different wrinkles into this, because I think overall, as a wrestling show, I think it's set up to be very good, but also just what's going to happen in that main event, because I've always thought they would not take the belt off Rollins, but it sure seems like Kane should not be the director of operations much longer. But now they put that stipulation on there, so they're adding little details to that match in particular. It's funny, it was like a few weeks ago, I thought it was just overkill by putting more people in that match. I thought they should have just done a straight up match between Rollins and Orton. And even though they had done it the prior month, and I wasn't big on Roman Reigns being added to that, but now they put Ambrose in it, and it seems to make a lot of sense now to do the Fatal 4-Way. And they've, like I said, they've added a lot of little different elements to where I'm really intrigued by it now.
Well, and you have, of course, the announcement of Elimination Chamber last night. So you can kind of see how they've strung the storyline along. The whole premise of Seth Rollins' title reign so far has been chaos. He won it in a chaotic moment at WrestleMania. Since then, he's had chaotic title defenses. There have been run-ins. He's snuck out of matches. His whole character is a slimy heel who gets by. And they announce this Fatal 4-Way for payback, which, okay, it's kind of crazy, right? You get all the Shield guys in there. You get Randy Orton fighting for his spot. There's all that chaos. I firmly expect Seth Rollins to win. I know we're not getting into predictions yet. But when they announce Elimination Chamber for 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, you add two more guys into that mix. It's this whole thing about chaos that's making this title reign so entertaining for these guys. And so then you build in, Kane's already been set. You mentioned Kane. Kane's been set up to go into that spot. He's the fifth guy in the Elimination Chamber. Who's number six? I don't necessarily know. But again, chaos, chaos, chaos. And it culminates at Elimination Chamber. And we'll see. I think Seth Rollins is going to win, but I don't know if he'll make it out of the chamber with the belt.
But you know what? The chamber show, he's going to be defending the title, but not in the Elimination Chamber.
What?
You didn't read the fine print.
No.
There are two matches announced for the Elimination Chamber.
Sure.
Where everybody will be stuck inside the bulletproof pods. Remember, don't try to shoot those pods if you bring a gun to the ring, because they are bulletproof. But the matches they've announced are the vacant Intercontinental Championship will be on the line, and also the Tag Team Championships will be determined in the chamber. But while Rollins will defend his title on that show, it will not be in the chamber.
Are you sure his match will not be in the chamber? Did you read that?
That's somewhere? My understanding.
Okay. Because I was thinking all of a sudden, and it seemed like from the news that I saw earlier that they're, you know, the whole thing, they dropped chamber because why? They couldn't fit it because of the board. So maybe they have an all chamber pay-per-view, which is fine because it's the only thing on the network. It's free, whatever. But it seems like that's where they're going with this, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like that's where they're heading with, like, to have a 6-man match for the title and Rollins, that's where he finally loses with enough men in the ring?
No, I am correct about this. The only 2 matches inside the chamber, tag team and intercontinental championship matches.
What?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Read the fine print, kiddo.
What fine print? Are you on WrestleNews.news?
With a Z?
With a Z?
News
Zorox
somewhere too. No. That's the announcement so far. I think WWE even has on their website. So get with the times, kid.
WWE.
I know, right? I'm reporting their own news. So, but yeah, you mentioned the chamber. You know what the thing is with one of the reasons why they got rid of the Elimination Chamber is because that thing is so lunky and so hard to take around, and then fit it in a building. A lot of the newer buildings, they can't set it up. It's too damn big. Scoreboards are in the way that are over top of like a basketball court or something. So it's just not practical, but they can use it in Corpus Christi, and that's where it's going to be. Funny thing is about that too, is that show originally was going to be an afternoon show. And there's another show that's going on, I think, that afternoon as well. So now I don't know what they're going to do with that other show in the afternoon, if they're going to cancel it or if some of the talent's going to have to be at that show and then get flown over to Corpus Christi in time for the Elimination Chamber show or what. But, you know, it's a free month on the WWE Network for new subscribers to sign up. Okay. It's obvious that WWE is doing this. And the belief is too, that they thought of this idea within like the last couple of days. But they're doing this so people will subscribe, saying, hey, I got to watch Elimination Chamber. But remember, it's a free month only through the month or through the end of May. So if you watch the show and you do not cancel immediately after the show, guess what? It's going to be June and you'll be signed up and paying for a month of the WWE Network.
Cha-ching!
There you
go. Hit the music! The scoreboard, soundboard, get it, go.
Yeah, but, and I know some people say, well, it's a dirty tactic or whatever, but you know what? I don't have a problem with it. People should know, like, you're getting a free month. And it's not like they are very specific in the wording that they say. The month of May is free. They're not saying you're getting a month for free from whenever you sign up. The month of May is free. So you know what would be really sneaky is if they said, you know what? We're not confined to this being a 3-hour show. What if they went to midnight Eastern?
They couldn't do that, could they? That's a little too sneaky. They'll have a post show. They'll just do their post show on there. That's what they'll do.
I want it to be like an Andy Kaufman style thing where he reads a book in the ring, you know, just to kind of kill time, you know? Remember he did that stand one time? People pissed him off, so he read a book.
Oh, that's good stuff. You know what? They could bring
Kane to go out there and read War and Peace.
Right, right. They could bring back the post-match or post-show press conferences. Remember those? They did those for like 1 month, and they were terrible. They had like WWE staff asking questions about that were all kayfabe, right? It was all in character. How do you feel after your match? Oh, I'm disappointed that I couldn't go out there and whip those whippersnappers into a fight.
Well, you know what? It's not as good as the press conference I went to when TNA announced that Impact was moving to Monday nights to go head-to-head against Raw, and they wanted to have this big media Q&A as part of the live streaming broadcast online. And the two members of the media were me and Jim Barcelone from the Miami Herald, and we just handed the mic back and forth to one another.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Quit the press conference on the big move to Monday nights. Oh, God.
That was the one where – did they have Hulk Hogan at that one? Am I remembering that correctly?
Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter were there. They had the podium at the end of the stage in at the Impact Zone.
Yep.
Yes. There was one other person that asked a question and was a member of the TNA PR team. And, like, they had 10 seats on the floor. There's 5 in one row and 5 behind us. And it was like me and Jim sitting in the front, and then TNA staff had to fill in all the other seats.
That's good stuff. Was the question like, how successful do you plan to be now that you're competing with WWE?
I don't remember what the PR guy asked, but I know me and Jim were asking some questions about how do you think this is going to work? And
some hard-hitting journalism questions?
Yeah, a little bit more. We got to a point where we kind of looked at each other and like, not sure what else I should ask right now. You know, and we're like, finally they wrapped it up. You know, we're like, we could have kept going, I guess, but it was literally like, okay, give me the mic. Okay, now I'll give you the mic. And just hand the mic back and forth, you know, doing
Was it like, how do you feel about moving to Monday nights? But how do you really feel about moving to Monday
nights? It was getting to that point almost. Yeah, you know, so because there's only certain areas I think they were willing to talk about because we were, you know, trying to bring up like, how do you go against that establishment? And, you know, do you really think you can beat them? You know, what kind of numbers you expect off the bat and what other kind of talent? And, you know, do you really think you can create another Monday Night War?
So. That really lasted. Way to go, TNA.
It lasted a month. Yeah. Yeah. Lasted a whole
panic
month.
Panic button. Go back to Thursday nights.
By the way, I do have to bring this up because I've had a very busy day. An unshaven, unkempt look here for me, unfortunately. But finally, I'd mentioned this before that, remember, I had ordered something for WWE, had the wrong zip code on it.
Right.
And it got lost in the mail.
Right.
Guess what came in the mail?
That's awesome. I am super jealous. You know how we saw with that shirt? Was it Shoemaker?
Shoemaker had the shirt.
Yep, yep, that's right.
Yep.
Nice shirt. I'm jealous.
So I had to get it for myself. I did. Well, plus I had my discount code for being a longtime subscriber to the WWE Network, you know, one of the original guys, unlike some other people that did not get the code.
I got emoticons, man. Emoticons.
You
I can show my brain violet smiling
and
face
I
off.
I got a discount at WWE shop.
Well, at least I got that super comfy, super soft WrestleMania 31 hoodie. That sucker is nice.
Oh, you mean mine that's sitting right over here to the side?
Yeah. Yeah.
It literally is. I got my hoodie sitting over there.
Nice. So
what else stood out for you when it comes to Raw? And then we'll get
Bray
Wyatt. Questions.
Bray Wyatt and Ryback. I thought I liked that segment a lot. It was interesting because at first I was not convinced by this feud. So Bray Wyatt came out and cut another promo. And what I loved about it was the way they hit Ryback's music and how he just came out and tore the place apart, trying to beat the crap out of Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt kind of slithered out of the ring and just had that grin on his face. And it's like, it was a good, intense moment. It made both men look good and fit well into their characters and what they're doing here.
Yeah, we'll see exactly what happens because both guys need a win right now. Probably Ryback more so than Bray Wyatt. But
did you hear Michael Cole? Michael Cole said maybe somebody, something like maybe somebody can take down Bray Wyatt now. And I'm thinking, you do realize he just lost at WrestleMania literally 2 months ago, right?
Who was it? What match was it where somebody won the match and Booker T goes, "We got a new champ." And neither man was the champ going into the match, and neither one had a championship belt. I was like, what are you talking about?
Or when Michael Cole confused Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston at ringside and just completely didn't even correct himself, just kept on rolling with it. That's professional right there, man.
You just keep on going.
They were literally right in front of him, too. I mean, I guess he's watching the monitor, but they were 5 feet away, and he was confusing who was getting involved in what piece. So
it's
yeah.
hard to keep up when people are clapping their way to the top, man.
I love those guys. Xavier Woods, God, he could just take all my money. I mean, that guy has superstar written all over him, and I love it. I love what they're doing with those guys.
One thing I really did like as well, and I don't know if it's permanent, but we can keep our fingers crossed that it is. Eric Rowan and Luke Harper back together?
Yay.
What kind of reaction is that?
Yay. So excited.
You want to see the Wyatt family get back together?
No, sure. Yay.
Oh, you're a horrible person, man. What's wrong with you?
God, what is there to be excited about here? These guys have been there, done that.
Oh, come on, man. They're better together as a team. They're better together as a unit. It should have never been split up.
It's like me and you. Like Cher and Sonny. Like the Beatles. Yoko and Ono, right? Those were two, right? Yoko and Ono. Right?
They were not two.
No. Yoko Ono?
That's the person that broke up the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yoko and Beatles. Lennon, right? That's who it was?
Yeah.
Stalin.
Let me tell you something, you little whippersnapper. You're horrible. But you want to get some questions? We'll talk about Payback a little bit.
Sure thing.
You can go to our Facebook page where I had the post earlier and deleted it, including the questions. But now, hopefully, people have resubmitted questions on our Facebook page.
I think we're getting there. People like to post a lot of comments on our Facebook page. Danny Phillips gave us a long post about Daniel Bryan. When he said you can't deserve someone that can fight and mention names, he was saying he can't and won't be that person anymore. So Danny is pretty much convinced that Daniel Bryan is done. So there you go. Eric Jacinto, who has arguments with Francis, who's in our chat room right now, but who the true super fan is, writes in, what's the point of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view? Only a two-week build and then a two-week build to Money in the Bank makes no logical sense. But then again, it's WWE.
Well, the sense is that they're trying to get people to subscribe to the WWE Network if you have not subscribed before. If you're not, so they're trying to use it as a hook to get people to sign up for the WWE Network and get them to stay. That's all it is, man. It's just a hook to try to get people on the network.
He also wanted to know, I agree. He also wanted to know about any chance of Heyman or Lesnar coming back to boost ratings since it's been a downtime lately. Heyman save us, was his hashtag.
Heyman, I could see. Brock, no.
The thing is, when Brock Lesnar comes back, they're literally paying for that rating. I mean, that rating costs them money because it's an extra date on Brock Lesnar's appearance, or it's a date he will not fulfill later in his contract for the year. So that's a dicey time, especially this time of year when wrestling is down. This is the summer. We'll start picking up around Money in the Bank, heading into SummerSlam, but this is a downtime for wrestling. So I agree. Heyman could come back because he's still there a lot of times, but yeah, not Lesnar. And then Jacinto's final question, he asked about the end of Daniel Bryan's career. We talked about that quite a bit. I do not think we can make any judgments. I want to say again and stress this. I think it is a sad time to be a Daniel Bryan fan, especially if he is your guy. But I don't think we can call this the end of his career yet. It just depends on how he comes back from this.
Are you surprised that we did not see Adam Rose on Raw Monday night following the E60 documentary Behind the Curtain?
Somewhat, yes.
Well, here's the bigger thing to me, too. I don't know what they could have done, but why didn't they show any clips from that?
Maybe ESPN owns the right to those clips.
Well, I'm sure they do, but I don't think they would have a problem if they showed like a clip or two of it and then promoted that on tonight, Tuesday night, they were doing a replay of that documentary.
Because they had to advertise for SmackDown, man. Come on. It's going to be Kane versus Roman Reigns in the match that was supposed to happen last night.
Sure, why not? But yeah. I mean, come on. You got to use a little bit of that doc, man.
Yeah. That documentary was freaking fantastic. Loved it.
I mean, I got to talk to Adam Rose last week after it, okay? How can you not root for that guy now? I mean, if you saw it. And here's the thing, too. We sit there and we, as the fans that we are, and we watch a lot of things when it comes to the wrestling business. There's about 700,000 people that watched that documentary, okay? Now, when you look at the overall audience for WWE and especially Raw, it's a fraction, okay? But still, for anybody that saw that thing, I mean, you see, you know, the battles and the journeys that so many of these guys have gone through. And you see it on such a personal level, but especially when it comes to Ray Lepon, Adam Rose, and seeing what he went through, being Leo Kruger, how close he came to actually being out of a job. And then to personalize it, he's married. He's got a son that was born with an abnormality to where he has to be fed through his stomach with a tube and still has more surgeries to come. And now they have another child, and how they had to come up with Adam Rose and, you know, everything that was riding on that debut and how it worked, at least for that night. We could sit here and make arguments about it since then, you know, but especially in that one night, it hit and it saved his job.
Yeah, and I guess I was one of the first guys to come out and say the Adam Rose gimmick was a complete failure, and I still believe it's not worked up. But what this show did was show me the potential that this guy, Ray Lepon, has. I mean, he has a bunch of natural charisma. And while his previous gimmick was almost a little bit too gimmicky, it wasn't part of him. I think the same thing about Adam Rose. There is somebody in there who has a lot of talent, and I almost wish they would just break the gimmick down a little bit more and let him be himself. He is not Adam Rose. This guy is a genuine, real guy. And you can still have some of that flair tossed in there, but let him use his natural accent. Man, that thing is fantastic. He doesn't have to be a bad guy, but he's got a built-in character there. Why do you change it? Anyway, I thought it did a great job of highlighting his true talent and what we're not seeing on WWE TV each week.
Yeah, and you know what? There's something to that, too, that I was going to bring up is that, you know, when we sit here and we talk about coming up with characters, but if you're not introducing a little element of yourself, at least, into something, it's likely not going to work. There are exceptions to it, but it just seems there's so much of a better chance that there's at least some of you into a character and it's just amplified. And how many times have we heard that story? Hey, this is me just turned up, you know, to the nth degree. And I think that's what he needs. But I mean, we saw Xavier Woods and everything that he's gone through and trying to make it. And then also, obviously Corey Graves as well, and how his dream of becoming a WWE superstar was crushed because he can no longer compete because of an issue with concussions. And he thought he was done with the wrestling business. And then come to find out he's now an announcer and, you know, he got a 2-year deal from WWE that saved his career. And then you can also go online. There was a couple of videos that were not used, or a couple of guys were not featured that are online. If you go to ESPN, if you go to their video section, and it was, you know, Tyler Breeze was one of them. And then the other one was Colin Cassidy. And both of them are really interesting videos. And in fact, I know we're doing this right here on a Tuesday, but coming out, I think probably tomorrow, I'll put out a podcast of an interview I just did with Tyler Breeze. Like I did like minutes before we even did this Google Hangout where I was talking to Tyler Breeze. And we talked a lot about how that character came about from what he was previously and what wasn't clicking about that to, you know, all the work and all the detail that's gone into making Tyler Breeze.
I think it's great. The characters they picked, I especially like, again, loved Ray LaPone. Xavier Woods was an interesting take because there's history there you don't get to see. He was introduced as part of that whole Brodus Clay thing, and I'm glad they steered him away from that. But the personal touches they put on him in highlighting how he's going for his PhD and what kind of conflict this has created for him, I think that was a good story to tell. And, of course, the Corey Graves one, because this is not necessarily a failure, but it's not quite the success he wanted it to be originally. So I like the stories they chose. Obviously, they're all relevant because these guys are all on TV every week for the most part. But I would have loved to have seen Tyler Breeze. You got to think they didn't pick him because he didn't end up on the main roster.
He's doing well in NXT, but I think that's exactly why they didn't pick him or Colin Cassidy is because they're not on the main roster yet. And right. I do wonder, is the reason why the New Day won the tag team titles is because that happened right before this doc aired?
They mentioned it. Did they mention it? Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you could see it that way. I don't want to be that cynical about it, though. I don't
blame them for doing it, if that's the case.
I do. I think that's bad. I think it's bad if you're going to tie yourself into a one-hour documentary enough to put the belts on these guys for that little bit of pop. I did think it was interesting in the interviews going into E60, Xavier Woods was talking about how much of a success he thought a New Day was going to be, because he said there's so much controversy out there with all the bad things on TV. And we thought if we sent out this positive message, people would really get behind it. And I wanted to say, you do realize it's 2015 and people love cynicism and hate everything good, right?
Yeah, I know, right? Unfortunately, that's the way it is in society right now. Right. So do you want to take some questions from the chat room, or do you want to talk about Payback?
Well, let's get some questions and we'll tie into Payback and wrap this bad boy up.
Now we got a couple more things. We got a big discussion coming up still on one other thing.
Oh God. Okay. Here we go. What do you make? James Borbeth writes in, former BTR. What do you make of Ring of Honor NXT both being in Philly this week?
I think if you're a Philadelphia, living in Philadelphia, you got a great week of wrestling because tonight and tomorrow night, you got Ring of Honor, War of the Worlds. And then on Thursday and Friday, you've got back-to-back nights of NXT. Would you go, if you lived in Philadelphia, would you go to all four shows?
Yes.
Absolutely, man.
Remember, I wanted to do the trifecta when I came to visit you, but we couldn't make, well, the quad, I guess it's not a trifecta. We wanted to do what we did basically at WrestleMania, but plus one. We did what was the pay-per-view we went to?
We went to whatever the pay-per-view was.
Battleground.
Battleground, yes.
Battleground?
We did Battleground, we did Raw, we did SmackDown.
And I wanted to go to an NXT taping that weekend, but there wasn't one in town, or I had to fly in or something like that weird.
Sure. Yeah, it was on a Thursday, yeah.
God, go to everything, man. If you have that opportunity at WrestleMania, I mean, people go to everything because you're there for wrestling, and if you love it, do it, man.
Yeah.
Do it.
By the way, man, if you're in the Ring of Honor, listen to the podcast, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and go to iTunes, and we've got the videos up as well now on YouTube, but interviews with Bobby Fish, one half of Red Dragon, and then also interview with Mike Bennett, one half of The Kingdom and current IWGP Tag Team Champion.
And we're kind of attacking this from all angles, so you know, we're trying to be all medias to all people, so keep up with us on our website and on YouTube and at my Twitter, at The Real Wiseman. Got that in there? Didn't think it was coming, did you? Snuck it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like how I did that.
We got too much going on.
Francis wants to know, how was TNA Live, Brian?
Now, that's a very interesting question. Because I was there. In fact, I was there with Scott Fishman. And as we were sitting there waiting for the show to begin, we did a live Periscope.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did a Periscope sitting right there ringside. I was not enamored with the live show. The live show that TNA did last Friday.
Why do you say it like that? What's the live about?
Well, they said the show was live, but it's not really live. The show aired from 9 to 11 o'clock Eastern on Destination America, but it actually began there at 7 o'clock or just after 7 o'clock.
Oh.
So it was taped and then aired a couple of hours later. So
it's pretty smart. They got their post-production in right there.
Sure. But there was just, what was the big moment? What was the big gotcha thing? You know, I mean, I didn't think the matches were that great. I mean, Angle against Eric Young was pretty good at the end, but outside that, there was nothing really spectacular. Matches were short. There was a lot of talking. Was anybody really surprised that Bully Ray was the special guest referee? And then, so he comes out, he announces it to begin the show that he's going to be the special ref for the world title match. And then in that match, he gets low blowed by Eric Young. What does he do about it? Nothing. Nothing. He came back for that one night and now is on Twitter, like basically saying, man, I hope this turns into an opportunity with WWE. You know, and they paid him good money for that one appearance. So good for him, but I don't understand what the use of that was. And the one thing that we needed to get into, though, that me and a lot of other people were very surprised about was you've got the Beatdown Clan with MVP, cut the promo, talking about the Rising. And MVP, who's a very good speaker, an extremely smart guy. But he was even tweeting before he went out there and cut the promo, like, people are going to be talking about what I say. And I think what he did was on his own. I don't think that he was scripted to say this, but he was talking about society right now, people calling them thugs. And he said, that is just the modern day equivalent to being called the N-word. And he did not say N-word like I did. He said the word. And I'll tell you what, Low-Key was even shocked. Because if you see the reaction on Low-Key's face, he was like, oh my goodness, what did he just say? Kenny King started almost laughing as he stood in the ring too. And I know there was other people that were surprised that word was said. I know for a fact about that. And I know you can sit there and say, you know, it's an entertainment show. It's used in society and we're trying to get, you know, it's used in movies. It's used in, you know, music. And I'm not a big fan of it at all. I think you can definitely get heat and you can get the point across in wrestling, you know, without using that word. And there's no way he should have gone that far with it. No way.
It's too much, man.
Way too much. That is such a divisive term. And you, I know people say, well, it's used in music or other people use in society. That doesn't make it right. It's a word that I do not like being used.
It's like the worst kind of cheap heat. So you hear cheap heat when people come out and say, your hometown team sucks. And it's almost this whole thing with play with the audience, right? Oh, you're insulting our hometown team. Boo, boo. But this was this kind of cheap heat that becomes offensive, especially if you find out that MVP did this on his own. He's a smart guy. He can find other ways to do this. And it's like There's the meaning behind the word is strictly to gain attention. It doesn't have any real meaning other than that. It is, look at me, I'm saying these offensive words. It's not like when a comedian does it. A comedian can tie offensive words into their set, into their skit, in a way that almost de-empowers the word. It breaks down the word. It kind of, it adds some kind of level of art to what they're doing. And MVP did not do that here. He strictly used it for a cheap heat moment to get some attention, and maybe people in TNA are happy, maybe they're not. But I will say this. I think it is the you're pushing an envelope. I think you're pushing the wrong envelope at the wrong freaking time in America.
I don't know if he got the green light to use it. I don't know what the reaction was from management about him using it. I know that there was plenty of talent that was surprised that he used it. And like you said, he's an extremely smart guy. He's well-spoken. You don't need to use that word. It's such an ugly term, and I know what he was trying to do, but I know he can sit there and say, oh, well, why can movies use it? Because that's all we are. We're a movie. We're a TV show. You know, we're like entertainment, but it is different because the way that you're trying to use it is in a manner to try to get heat. It's try to get a reaction, and there's a variety of different ways where you can do that without using that word. And such a nasty, ugly word. Because let me tell you this. If you use that word and you say, oh, it's okay to use that every blue moon to get a reaction. So what does that open the floodgates to? What else can I use? I'm not saying all the time, but it just sets a bad thing there where you're using that term. And it never needs to be uttered, especially in a wrestling program.
Agreed. Agreed. I guess the thing that bothers me about it too is it's almost like you would think MVP would be above this. And I don't understand it from that perspective as somebody, he went to prison and he used that to make his life better. The fact that you would debase yourself to that level, it's just, it boggles my mind a little bit. And the fact that he even advertised that, people were talking about this promo and they're not talking about his promo in the way they did the pipe bomb promos of the past or any of these other controversial things that have some kind of edge to them. They're talking about it like, why did you go there?
I know. It is disconcerting, to say the least. So, I wasn't a big fan of the live show, And, they did 3 days of tapings after that. They filmed for 3 hours for Destination X that's going to air on Destination America coming up on a Friday night. And, in fact, I believe that is going to be on... I think that's on May 22nd. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so.
Now, here's why I bring that up, okay? Because that not only is a Friday night, but it's also Memorial Day weekend. That is going to do a horrible number.
Yes.
You know that live show that TNA just did is the worst rating that they've done in a while. What was it, like 375,000 people watch that show live?
Wow. How much longer do they stay live on
the station? They've got 9 months, man. I'm trying to look up the date right here, but I mean, I don't know if Destination America is going to drop them anytime soon, but those numbers obviously are not good. All their other programming, though, the network's already gotten rid of.
All the other programming?
Yeah. It's all gone. Like the show that Mike Tenay was doing on the weekend? Gone. All they have now is Impact and a replay. That's it. All that other programming that they were given when they first signed, it's gone.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, there's no way they're going to stay around much longer than that. I mean, if they've gotten rid of everything else.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot more that goes into it. They've got Slammiversary that's coming up free. They're going to be doing that. Well, that's actually going to be a pay-per-view. That's June 22nd.
Okay.
So you've got that coming
back up. Back on pay-per-view. Welcome back, TNA.
Back on pay-per-view. I don't know why, but yep. It's the May 22nd edition of Impact. 3 hours, TNA Destination X. Kurt Angle against the current TNA X Division champion. And you know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar Spud.
Right. That'll be a great match. That'll be great.
Yes. I think I know who's going to win it. Just going to throw it out. You know, that's going to be a tough sell. That Slammiversary is definitely going to be a tough sell. So they're still fighting the good fight. You're trying to. So you know what the funny thing is that so they were in business with Spike TV for so long, and Spike just said, you know what, we don't want to be in the wrestling business. What have we heard since then about Spike? They're not much, but the door's open about that much right now. But they're possibly thinking about getting back in the wrestling business with the right opportunity.
Yeah,
because Ring of Honor has spoken with them. Maybe, maybe. Ring of Honor, by the way, has signed deals with a TV station in Dallas and also signed nationally with NESN, which is the North England or New England Sports Network. So it's based out of the Boston area. So they've gotten some more coverage there. But obviously, if you can get on Spike nationally, that'd be huge. And then Global Force Wrestling is talking with Spike and trying to convince them to give them a TV deal.
Who goes there first, Global Force Wrestling or Ring of Honor?
I'd say Global.
Yep.
Because they have a previous relationship with Jeff Jarrett.
Yep. And that name, I mean, nothing against Ring of Honor. They have a bunch of great names down there, but Jeff Jarrett is, to a certain extent.
Well, here's why I think so, too, okay? So they, Global Force Wrestling, had a press conference last week, and they announced that Chael Sonnen is going to be their special analyst. So they expect him to be a color commentator, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a draw. Now, mind you, if they get this deal, it's not going to be on Friday nights, part of that MMA block. I don't think Spike wants to do that again. Okay. So you've got Chael. So that's a nice sell. But if they are able to get Jim Ross on as the lead announcer, I think that really helps their efforts in landing a deal with Spike.
It's part of the production. I mean, it makes your whole product look better.
And I do think that Jim Ross is going there. As long if they get on Spike, I think JR is the announcer. It would be you'd have an announced team of Jim Ross and Chael Sonnen.
Wow, that's huge.
That is pretty interesting,
that's
right?
That's huge.
But you know what the one thing they don't have yet so far? I mean, I know I was joking about Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Yeah. But they have not announced, and you know, it's been for the ballpark tours and everything, but they have not announced a really huge A-list number one guy we can build around kind of person signing with that company yet.
Who would that be? Who would they take to do that?
I mean, would it be AJ Styles?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I mean, is AJ that big enough of a draw for that? I mean, now they've signed some other guys from New Japan. They definitely got like the Bullet Club. They got other guys. And I'm not saying anything about AJ Styles, but well, AJ Styles has definitely raised his profile. Okay. Since even leaving TNA, because I just think it was a case where he needed to get out of there and he finally did. And now with him and everything he's done on the independents and especially with New Japan, that he would be a big, big get for them. I'm not exactly sure who else is out there that they could really get. I mean, the guy that comes to mind, but I don't think they can get him now. But also, I don't know if a contract's been signed. Would be Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, yeah, that's an idea. I almost wonder, I think it's a toss-up, and I almost wonder if AJ Styles has a little bit more mainstream appeal. Not saying Samoa Joe doesn't have that appeal.
I agree. But what other guys would you try to go after? I mean, if I was them, I would definitely try to get, you know, talent from Ring of Honor. I mean, there's a lot of great talent in Ring of Honor, but if they could get them, and I don't want any ill will against Ring of Honor and fans. I like their product too, but I'm just saying from a business standpoint, I would go after Adam Cole. I would go after Red Dragon. I would go after the Kingdom. I would go after all of those guys.
You'll say this will never happen. I know you'll say it's impossible. I think you roll over for CM Punk. I think CM Punk.
Oh, I absolutely would do everything I could to get CM Punk.
I mean, people will say, well, he's going in MMA. That's going to be a 1-2 fight deal. You'll be lucky if he does all three fights for UFC. Once that's over, homeboy will be looking for something to do to keep his name out there. And he still hates WWE. Global Force Wrestling, man, that's your in. I will watch you to see what happens there if I'm a casual fan.
If they give him everything that he wants. And I mean, I don't know what the money can be, but I'm talking about if they give him creative control, if he can have a say on the show and his role and they make him the number one guy. I know he said what he said about wrestling, but who knows? I mean, he's already more or less, I mean, Samoa Joe did a podcast with Jim Ross, and he more or less alluded to that there could be one more Samoa Joe CM Punk match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's great. Crazy.
So, I mean, there's still a lot of things open. I mean, we all talk about Joe going to NXT, and that's still where I expect him to go, but I don't know if he signed that contract.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep seeing more and more indie dates for him popping up. So I don't know what's going on there yet.
You reckon they're negotiating in the last stages over something? I mean,
maybe. Or maybe they said, hey, your start date got pushed back a little farther and you can keep working indies until then.
Yeah.
Because right now he's signed up to do a show early in June now, I think. And the belief is that he would go to NXT in June.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting. And by the way, I did not go to any of the other tapings for TNA. I just went to the live show.
So how long were they there? They were there Friday.
Friday they did the one show, and then they taped half of the next week, the following week's edition of Impact. So we were there for a little over 3 hours.
Okay. Fun. Sounds like a good 3 hours. You and Fishman.
Fishman and his buddy.
How's Fishman doing?
He's doing fine, man.
Good. I haven't seen him in a few months, so wanted to check in on a little guy.
He's doing okay. Yeah. You know, I just saw him, you know, I saw him then and I saw him again the next day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got together and got a bite to eat before he had to race back to Miami to go see a local indie show down there. Nice. So yeah, he drove home so we could go straight to an indie show.
Wow. Fun stuff.
Yes. So, anything else we need to cover before we get some more questions?
I can't think of. We're talking about Payback. I know we're going to do some predictions this week.
Oh yeah, do you want to do some predictions right now, or do you want to leave it for the website?
Let's leave it for the website. Let's leave the suspense out there.
Okay, we can do that.
I have a good question here on Facebook from Damian Stafford.
Wait, somebody gave you a good question?
Yeah, I know, right? Our fans out there, they come through for us every once in a while.
Blown away.
Damian Stafford, question. While I'm glad to see Elimination Chamber back, do you feel it had more purpose as a stepping stone to WrestleMania and a chance to make those last-minute changes from the Royal Rumble? I fear this will be just a gimmick match, pay-per-view, network special with no real purpose.
Well, the whole purpose of it, like I said before, is just to try to get people to sign up. You know what? When they had the World Championship split, when you had a WWE Championship and a World Heavyweight Championship, I always thought that the chamber should have been used so one person wins the Rumble and they tell you what belt they're going to go after, and then the chamber should be used to find the number one contender for the other title. But yeah, they didn't do it that way, and a lot of times they had the titles on the line, which to me killed kind of the build-up to WrestleMania, because then instead of having a 8-week or a 2-month build to WrestleMania, it got cut in half,
right?
Which I never understood.
Yeah, it's weird. I do like the idea of it being a number one contendership. They did that a few times. I think the year Miz fought Jerry Lawler at Elimination Chamber, they use it like that. I like that. It means they're fighting for something. I have kind of this weird issue with Elimination Chamber being a World Heavyweight Championship match or WWE Championship match every time, only because it's almost like you don't have to fight as hard to earn your spot. Well, if you're sixth or seventh, then you'll still get a title shot. Like, it levels the playing field almost too much. So I do remember the year, though. I do like they could use it to set up WrestleMania when they wanted to, because it still left some unpredictability there. I remember the year that Shawn and Undertaker were feuding, and Undertaker went into the chamber with the title and was looking to retain, and Shawn popped out from underneath the ring and surprise attacked him to earn the right to fight him at WrestleMania. There were some great moments in the chamber. I hope they bring it back every year too.
Remember when Shawn made his return to WWE and won the championship in the Elimination Chamber, winning his infamously called poop brown tights?
Yeah. The first time. I mean, the first Elimination Chamber. Well, the first time for other things too. But
right. Was that the one too where RVD almost killed Triple H?
No,
that might have been a different one.
Yeah, that was the first one, right? That was the one where Goldberg walked in with it, right?
Maybe. And didn't he smash through the bulletproof pod?
Somebody always, Big Show just punches it out these days. Flicked right. it a few times. Yeah.
You got to get through that thing. I mean, it can't, you know, bullets cannot penetrate it, but your fist can.
Here's my problem with it. Here, I actually do have some problems. So they do Elimination Chamber and Extreme Rules and Hell in a Cell. And we're guaranteed at least a cage match at Extreme Rules. So I don't know. I just start having issues with all of these extreme matches and how they're all the most extreme versions. Like when they talk about Hell in a Cell, it'll be the most extreme thing you've ever seen. And
there was only one extreme match at Extreme Rules.
Which one?
The Roman Reigns Big Show.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as they tried to bill it as Extreme Rules, I mean, what other matches really had extreme moments?
Yep.
None.
I agree. All right. I think that's all the questions I got for you this week.
Was there any more in the chat room?
But next week, nah, these guys, these goobers in the chat room, what are y'all doing? Nothing. We're good.
Bunch By the way, so we've been doing the live videos now. We're doing it every Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern, or once we have it fixed, 4 o'clock Eastern. I think we realized what we did, so we'll have it working. But also, we'll be turning this into the regular Between the Ropes weekly podcast. And subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, especially those two. You can also get it on the TuneIn app and also on Downcast. But if you go to BetweenTheRopes.com, we've got the buttons right there for iTunes and Stitcher. And we ask you subscribe, rate us, and review us as well. And when you go to the website, now we do have the new articles. We can see all the different podcasts we've got, a lot of them from this past week. You know, I mentioned Adam Rose. We've got Micah from TNA Wrestling, who was Camacho in NXT. Bobby Fish from Red Dragon is on there. JTG, your boy, spoke with him.
We didn't even talk about it. You got to talk to the man, the white whale. You got him on the show.
I did.
What?
He reached out to me. He reached out to me. Yes.
Did he see? Did he hear we were looking for him? And he said, all right, here I am.
I did tell him that we were looking for him. He had a good laugh about it. In fact, we talked about it on the podcast. And there is a chance JTG could be joining us in the near future here on the live video.
We'll have a three-man booth. It will be fantastic.
Yeah, we're trying to get JTG.
This will be my life dream accomplished.
I know it will be. I told him that, too. Mike Bennett from Ring of Honor, one half of or part of the Kingdom, is on there. We talk a lot about being married to Maria.
Lucky sucker.
Nice. And then my man, Tyler Breeze, not up yet, but I just spoke with him before we began the live broadcast. So I'll have that up here probably on Wednesday at some point. So a nice little 20-minute conversation I had with the Prince of Pretty as NXT is going on the road Thursday and Friday in Philadelphia. Saturday, they'll be in Albany, New York, and then they'll be back here in Central Florida for TakeOver on Wednesday, May the 20th from Full Sail University, where I will be at that night too.
Aren't you fancy? Aren't you fancy? In your fancy?
Now that I live two blocks away from it, I could ride a bike over there, man.
Oh, you're so fancy going to NXT TakeOver on your bike, on your bicycle.
So fancy. Oh, I'm going to the NXT tapings the following night too.
Me. Brian, I live in Florida. Yeah, but you live in Florida. Let's get this out of the way. You live in Florida. That sucks.
What sucks about it? I'm in the haven of wrestling right now.
Florida? Have you been to Florida lately? Bunch of old retired people looking for their tax breaks. That's all it is.
Not in Orlando.
And a bunch of crazy people.
So we've got George Zimmerman living in the area. Okay, you do have to put up with Georgie boy.
Right. He got what, shot at again because he's a dummy?
I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know that my daytime job, I actually cover news and traffic from a helicopter, and I'm on call during the middle of the day, and I got called up, and I had to go get in the helicopter, and we had to go ride. And it's funny because the pilot told me, like, he gets called, like, when we have to go fly, and he goes, yeah, I got to see if this is a hoax or not, but, they called me, and they said that George Zimmerman got shot or shot at. He goes, I think it's a hoax. And then I was walking over to the helicopter. I started checking online. I was like, it's not a hoax. He was shot or shot at. So. That's I got to spend 90 minutes following George Zimmerman's car as it got towed to a police lot and then hover over that scene.
How long until we have the great George Zimmerman, O.J. Simpson chase down the interstate? That's what I
don't know. You know what? I keep asking the pilots, like, when have you covered a chase scene? What's that been like? And they said, never has happened. They've never covered a chase scene. I'm like, Well, you know, now that I'm on the job, it could happen. I mean, did have to follow a car being towed. That's the first time I've had to follow a moving scene because normally it's just like in one area. Yeah. So we're still hoping for the police chase. And the crazy thing is, too, there would be, if there is a police chase, there are four TV stations plus us and the police helicopter that can all potentially be in the air. So it could be six helicopters following a scene, potentially.
Wow. Wow.
It could be a little bit busy in the air if that happened.
Wow. Interesting.
And I'm in the smallest helicopter and it does not have any air conditioning, by the way.
Are y'all out there dodging each other, like helicopters moving up and down?
No, we're all talking to one another and avoiding one another and saying, hey, I'm swinging around this way and blah, blah, blah.
Turn right, no left. Oh,
that's, we still keep a good distance. And there's some times where we can hover so we can stay in one position, but there's other days where the weather conditions do not allow that. So then you have to tell everybody like, hey, I'm going to be shifting over here and there. And we all just kind of work together.
Sounds glamorous.
It sounds hot in the middle of the summer. Now we have no AC. So for air conditioning, you know what our AC is?
What's that?
The pilot flies on his side of the helicopter with no door. So we get air going into the helicopter.
Safe and efficient.
So we're at, 1,000, 1,500 feet. And he's got no door on his side. He's, buckled in. I'm buckled in on the opposite side, the back. And I've got doors on my side, but I can open up flaps in the door to get some air going, but it still gets super hot. Super hot. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. So, but we do want to thank everybody for watching the broadcast. Like you said, this will be up on our podcast. Subscribe.
Wait, I missed it. Picture. And on that note, go.
Oh, okay. As I was saying, don't forget, check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com as well. You can see all the different articles. You can see the new podcast, everything we got going up. And please subscribe to us here on YouTube, youtube.com/BetweenTheRopes. You can subscribe to us. You can also please like what we do, share our various videos, and you can comment on them as well. We really encourage all the feedback from everybody. And like I said, not only subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, but also follow us on Twitter. Just go to Twitter at Facebook. Or actually, what am I saying?
Twitter at Facebook. Check us out.
At Between the Ropes on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes. Let's get that squared away. We've got too many things when it comes to social media.
Oh, my God. Well. I know.
Yes. And if you really get bored sometimes, I go on Periscope as well. Just follow me on Twitter at Brian Fritz. And
I can't go on Periscope because I have an Android device.
Well, what the hell? Get caught up with your technology. Now, it's funny because it is actually going to be integrated into Android phones pretty soon.
Good. I'll be on there. We'll have
not only that, but also right now you can only shoot, vertically. And pretty soon you're going to be able to shoot using horizontally landscape.
I'm gonna do like feature film type, like documentary narrative work on Periscope.
Sure, why not? Go for it, man. Just get the right technology for it.
Everything in one take. Yeah,
yeah. And by the way, you can hear my conversation with Tyler Breeze as we do talk about Periscope and how it could be used in his act.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, keeping up on technology with the Prince of Pretty. He's my guy. I got to give him ideas. So
don't forget to tell everybody Friday night. I mean, Friday night. Gee, now you got me all screwed up. Sunday night.
Sorry.
Right after Payback. We will be here 11:10-ish, depending on when the show ends. Right here. No technical difficulties. We swear. We promise. Hopefully. Right here. Live video, and I think we might be bringing on a special guest from the site. So we'll
see what happens. It looks like we might have the three-man wheel going here, so people can join us for the live video broadcast immediately following WWE Payback. So thanks again, everybody. We really appreciate all of your support for checking us out at BetweenTheRopes.com. I'm Brian Fritz. He's Michael Wiseman. We'll talk to you coming up on Sunday night, and of course, check us out online at BetweenTheRopes.com.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.